right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Debuting a new shirt tonight. Hope everybody likes that one. That's a going grunt style. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Chopper Supernut is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Lady Boo is on. Just Fact is on. D9597 is on. Kev FM1 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Just Jesse's on. Praise Holler is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. I Am Mark is on. Malamute Lover is on. Supergirl is on. Wendell Lovett is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Why Not Me is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Mark 1069 is on. Neon Widow's on. SCWA Ratcliffe is on. Jim Kohler is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Dave Souders is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Let me see here. Mickey 44 is on. DK Jackson is on. Robin Aroni's on. My Broken Heart is on. Melly Martin is on. Waterline 46 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Conservative Waffles on. 23, Justin Blake is on. Todd Suff is on. USA Happy Girl is on. Grittedom is on. Sheila K is on. Let me see here. Granite 2468 is on. Anybody I missed? Scrolling down. Biggie 926 is on. Producer Aaron is on. 11. Carl 11 is on. Let me see here. Just Jesse's on. Mom for Boys is on. Order in the Court is on. Let me see here. KGP Co is on. Uncle Wally's on. Lisa Sobo is on. Volvo 960 is on. Sean Hiltabidal is on. Let me see here. Ninja Daddy 12 is on. Queen B52 is on. Man, we're scrolling down. Steffa Toms is on. No, boy, I just screwed it up. There we go. Got it back. Woo. All right. I finally got to the bottom right there. All right. All right, let me just a couple things off of the pregame in case I don't get to it later, the whole meeting with Keir Starmer. I know everybody's holding their nose. I know everybody vomited in their mouth a little bit. I know, and you know who Keir Starmer is, basically a facilitator of pedophilia and Muslim rape inside of Great Britain for years, was a magistrate for years that refused to prosecute child rapists and Muslim rapists for years. That's who Keir Starmer is. That's why he was installed, so that the pedophilic ring can continue on around the world. And, of course, the illegal migration and all that all around the world. But anyway, that's why Keir Starmer is in. But let's focus in on free speech. J.D. Vance stood him up to his face. And J.D. Vance at the Berlin Security Summit, which is, when you're living in an inverted world, you have to understand that they're using the word democracy to usher in totalitarianism. And whenever they say free speech, they actually mean censored speech. And that's what was happening at the Berlin Security Summit, where J.D. Vance gave his speech accusing Great Britain and numerous other countries of censoring speech, considering the very fact that Great Britain arrests 3,300 people a year. And some of you might be getting tired of hearing that stat, but it's the truth. 3,300 people a year for speech violations, and Vladimir Putin arrests about 400 per year. So about 3,000 more per year arrested in Great Britain, a country that espouses that they have free speech. And Keir Starmer, because J.D. Vance, well, Starmer or President Trump was asked a question by the media, and Trump said, let me just give that, you know, let J.D. Vance answer, because it was about J.D. Vance's speech at the Berlin Security Summit. And J.D. Vance said, you know, I stand by what I said. And then Keir Starmer chimes back in. We have free speech in Great Britain. How do you have, Aaron, maybe you can answer this question. How do you have free speech without free speech? I mean, I'm just curious. If it's like saying you're a democracy when you're not a democracy. You're going to go fight in Ukraine in the name of democracy when Ukraine's not a democracy. How do you have free speech when you're arresting 3,000? It's not that big a country, folks.
Right.
It's not, yeah. I mean, it's just a little island country. And you're arresting 3,000, I guarantee it's increasing every year because that's an old stat, 3,300 people a year for speech. I mean, I'm talking about arresting here. I'm talking about going to jail, paying fines for because you said that you don't like illegal immigration, or you called somebody a homophobic slur, whatever that. Now, who gets to interpret what is hate speech and what is illegal speech? The Nina Jankowiczes of the world, which is an interesting thing because she actually works, get this, Aaron, for an NGO in Great Britain that censors speech.
Shocker.
That's who she went over, Nina Jankowicz, remember her? Wow. That's who she works for now. I'm trying to credit who it was that gave me that information. It's either Alex Jones, Bannon, or one of the other people I listened to. But anyway, So Keir Starmer, and another thing, so Keir Starmer has the audacity to say we are a country with free speech, and they are a country currently without any free speech. I mean, literally, you cannot pray in silence out 500 feet from an abortion clinic. You'll be arrested. How do you have free speech? I mean, imagine having the audacity to actually say that, to be so devoid of introspection that you would say that, so devoid of human dignity, of integrity, that you would actually make that statement. And the funny thing, too, with that is Keir Starmer's own chief of staff is a guy by the name of Morgan McSweeney. And he actually was dispatched by Keir Starmer over to the United States to, quote, kill Elon Musk's ex. That's his chief of staff. They actually sent over a task force into the United States. You want to talk about an insurrection? You want to talk about a foreign invasion? The current prime minister's chief of staff was sent over to the United States by Keir Starmer to take down, to kill Elon. That's a quote, by the way. Kill Elon Musk's ex. And you're for free speech? How exactly are you for free speech without actually being for free speech? How can you be for free speech when you're arresting people for speech? Well, because that crosses the line. What's crosses the line, and who determines where that line is? We already have a line crossing. The line crossing is a civil offense called defamation. That's it. That's the only thing. The only other sort of speech crime would be speech coupled with an apparent ability to commit a violent act, which is what's called an assault in the state of Florida. And it's not just a simple threat. It would be a threat coupled with somebody coming at you with a hammer saying, I'm going to kill you with a hammer. That speech is actually criminal. That would be called an assault, but it's already covered. So if you, and I don't care what you're, and listen, I'm very pro-Israel, but even if you want to be an anti-Semite, you have that right. You have the right to be a racist. You have the right to be anti-Muslim. You have the right to be anti-Christian. You're allowed to espouse all those views. That's free speech. How do you actually say you have free speech when you are actually governing speech? How is that free when it's governed? I know what Trump has to do when Keir Starmer is sitting in the White House. I understand that, but it's just absolutely repulsive. I mean, the man is a repulsive pedophile enabler and pedophile, but maybe pedophile himself. Who knows? But he's definitely a pedophile enabler. All right, moving on. Let's get to Epstein now. Big fizzle out. That's the title of the show tonight. Big fizzle out with the Epstein thing. Listen, I'm not down on Trump with this Epstein thing. I'm not, and I'm not doing that because I'm some Trump sycophant. I was on it last night. I mean, it is what it is. It stunk. And this binder thing, not good. Okay, let's not do the binders. You know, let's not do the binders and handing it to D.C. Drano and Liz Wheeler, and they all do this in front of, okay, listen, you want to walk the fine line of a conservative, of being conservative, but not a geek and not a nerd, okay, not cringy, okay? That's the problem sometimes, all right, is people put out cringy, you know, putting that out and waving that, I mean, that was not a highlight of this first 5 weeks in office. I mean, it really wasn't. And I told you, I'm no sycophant. I'll lose viewers because it's Trump's 5D chess. Listen, it could be, but you know, it's still a cringy moment to have DC Drano out there. Ooh, look at this. And it turns out to be nothing. And we already know everything that's in there. It was Jeffrey Epstein's Rolodex. That's all that it was. We've already had that. We need his freaking flight log.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Where is it? That's what we need. And until that gets put out, the Trump administration is not looking good. Unless it's been hidden from them by the Southern District of New York and the FBI. If that's the case, then you know what? All bets are off. Then they are completely exonerated. Otherwise, my thing is, Trump's not doing this to defend himself. Trump has already acknowledged this whole relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, which was just for a brief period of time. He's kicked out of Mar-a-Lago by Trump himself or by, a bouncer at Mar-a-Lago working for Trump. So he's kicked out of Trump. I mean, kicked out of Mar-a-Lago. Trump flew on the plane a couple times, never went. There's a flight log to Epstein Island. Everyone already knows this. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Aaron knows this. He's a pilot in training. Whenever you are going to fly a plane, what do you have to submit to the FAA? Flight plan. Right? Yeah. Okay, so you have a flight plan. Okay, so all of those flights, they have flight plan. They have all the passengers on it, even when you're flying private. I've flown private, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times. And You have a list of passengers. It's all right there on what Aaron just said, flight log. It's right there, flight plan, flight log. It's all right there. So Trump's not defending himself, but is he defending some sort of other Republicans that are on there? I don't know. I'm not saying Trump is defending anybody. It could be nothing. It could be absolutely nothing, and this whole thing's going to come out. But here's the thing: is we're five and a half weeks in. Why has it not been released already? And what was this? What was this circus act today? And anybody who knows anything, Pam Bondi is like, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll do the Pam Bondi stuff in a second, but Pam Bondi's saying, well, she found out that there was only that amount of, there was only a certain amount of information on that. Then why do the freaking binder? She knew over and over again, which I'll get to that in a minute. So here's Anna Paulina Luna, who is running the congressional task force to release all of these classified documents, JFK, RFK, MLK, all that. Anna Paulina Luna is in charge of getting that out. And of course, she was taking heat because where's the freaking Epstein log? Well, here she is. I know the task force were given or reviewed the Epstein documents being released today. A New York Post story just revealed that the documents will simply be Epstein's phone book. This is not what we, and she puts this in all caps now, this is not what we or the American people asked for. Get us the information we asked for instead of leaking old info to the press. Okay, if you don't have it, then put it off another day. Don't do a circus act. Don't open yourself up for introspection from the press. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't have a show. Just, it didn't work out. Call everybody on the list. Don't come to the White House today for your binder. We don't have any information, because that's basically what ended up happening. Is you end up with Liz Wheeler putting out a video basically saying, I have nothing. You have DC Drano, who didn't put out anything that I saw, because he has nothing. So nobody ends up putting out anything because there's nothing to see. Why bother with it? Why bother with it? All right, go to the next one. Well, Brianna Morello tweet. Bombshell claims the FBI is hiding Epstein documents from A.G. Bondi, which, by the way, I believe this. I believe it. Pam Bondi did a great job as the A.G. of the state of Florida. I've never seen it. She's never been caught in any lie or any sort of controversy or anything else. So I believe her. I do. But again, just don't do the cringy binder thing. These allegations are being made in a letter Bondi has sent FBI Director Cash Patel today. The letter says that prior to Patel being sworn in, the FBI handed her 200 pages of Epstein documents. Bondi claims she asked for all the Epstein documents. Bondi adds that she questioned the documents that were sent to her office, but was assured by the FBI she received all the documents. Anybody that knows anything about this case would automatically know. Maybe she doesn't know. I mean, Alex Jones said this today. I'm going to play an Alex Jones video, a 2-minute video in just a second. But Alex Jones said today, I mean, she's been busy. Okay. I mean, she was the AG of the state of Florida. She's on the Trump team. Okay. She may not be someone like me who just happens to know the stuff that's out, that's out on social media. So maybe she doesn't know, but she did know instinctively, this is not everything I'm having. She keeps asking for it. Bonnie says that yesterday she learned from a source that the FBI field office in New York had more documents. And by the way, this is the SDNY, too, the Southern District of New York, working in cooperation with the FBI. So the Southern District of New York is who? That would be Alvin Bragg. That would be it's not Alvin Bragg, it's obviously works for the city, but that's who would work with Alvin Bragg if it was governmental. So that is the United States attorney. So the United States attorney is working with the FBI to conceal these documents for some unknown reason. We all know the reason. The FBI never disclosed the existence of these files, Bondi says. The AG adds that all the documents will be delivered to her office tomorrow at 8 a.m. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Alex Jones video. Here's a good summation. Play for me.
Massive news. Our FBI whistleblower, who was on the show, Mr. O'Boyle yesterday, and his high-level FBI sources that gave the names and where the siloed secret giant cache, or part of it is, was given to Pam Bondi and Kash Patel days ago, and that they have initiated a criminal investigation of it, has now all been confirmed. This just dropped from the Attorney General Pam Bondi. Look at this. Here's the letter. She is investigating the Southern District of New York. She's saying, keep everything. You did not follow my orders. Over a month ago, to give me all of the Epstein files, and all you gave me was information that basically has already been released. And this letter just went out, and they are reportedly have people there from my sources grabbing it all themselves right now. So this is a mutiny by the Democrat globalist deep state FBI in New York. And this is heating up, and Trump is going for the jugular, just like we knew Kosh and Dan Bongino and Pam Bondi are doing it. So, wow. Dear Director Patel, and she's instructing him to go after these people. Before you came into office, I requested the full and complete files related to Jeffrey Epstein. In response to this request, I received approximately 200 pages of documents, which contain primarily flight logs, Epstein list of contacts, and a list of victims' names and phone numbers, which has been out before. I repeatedly questioned whether this was all the full set of documents responsive to my request. I think so. It's on record, the FBI said. It's been in court. Houses full of VHS and hard drives and material. I repeatedly questioned whether this was the full set of documents responsive to my request. I was repeatedly assured by the FBI that we had received the full set of documents. Late yesterday, I learned from a source. And again, that's who reached out. You heard them on the show yesterday. That the FBI field office in New York was in possession of thousands of pages of documents related to the investigation and indictment of Epstein. Despite my repeated request, the FBI never disclosed the existence of those files when you and I spoke yesterday. You were just as surprised as I was to learn about the new information. By 8 a.m. tomorrow, February 28th, the FBI will deliver the full and complete Epstein files in my office, including all records, documents, audio and video recordings, and materials related to Jeffrey Epstein and his clients, regardless of how much information was obtained. There will be no withholdings of or limitations to my rear access. The Department of Justice will ensure that any public disclosure of these files will be done in the manner to protect the privacy of the victims and in accordance with the law, as I have done my entire career as prosecutor. I am also directing you to conduct an immediate investigation, criminal investigation, into why my order to the FBI was not followed. You will deliver to me a comprehensive report on your findings and propose personnel action within 14 days. I appreciate your immediate attention to this important matter. I know that we are both committed to transparency for the American people, and I look forward to continuing to work with you to serve our president and our country.
All right, so back to front. So Pam Bondi ordered a criminal investigation by the FBI director into the FBI to determine why it is that they repeatedly lied to her. She asked them over and over again, is this all that you have? As Alex Jones said, this is a pretty big room that we're in right here. They have houses full of VHS tapes. I mean, again, if you're Jeffrey Epstein is a Mossad agent, MI6 agent, CIA agent, asset, I should say, in recording everything. That's why with P. Diddy, who's another Mossad, CIA, MI6 agent himself, asset himself. There is houses full of VHS tapes because it's old school security blending into new school. And then when it's new school, it's CDs and VHS stuff, not VHS, DVR stuff. So there's houses full of this. And the FBI and the Southern District of New York said, this is all that we have. So the criminal investigation is going to be into those people who said, this is all that we have, because Pam Bondi was asking them over and over again. Remember, she is the boss, asking them over and over again, is this all they have? And over again, they're saying, yes, it is. So obviously it's not. She now knows that it's not. And as Alex Jones said, that her own assets, I mean, it's amazing. Amazing. This is the whole thing. And the media is playing this all up. We have Trump administration against Trump administration. We have Kash Patel versus Bondi. It's not anything to do with that. When you're going to root out deep rot corruption, you're going to have these times where people are refusing to comply. Even that, all of these people now, this has gotten to be, there's no plausible deniability. James Comey is an outright criminal with this honeypot scheme. Outright criminal, collusion hoax, McCabe, the wiretapping, everything. I mean, it's outright criminal. There's no plausible deniability at all. If it turns out that these people, and again, there's also FBI whistleblowers. There's a lot of this stuff that's coming from FBI whistleblowers. These are legit whistleblowers, not you know, Charamella from the Ukraine hoax, but it's legit. That was, again, who was Charamella? Another CIA USAID asset. That's who he was. That's who the whistleblower was. But anyway, again, we're paying for NGOs to sow into our own demise. Isn't that wonderful? So this investigation will be, there's really no plausible deniability if these people have said over and over again, because it's going to be via email, that this is all that we have, and it turns out that it's not. Now, they need to be fired, lose all their pensions, and if they crossed into a criminal line, they need to be criminally prosecuted also. Because now it's getting to the place where this is all Lex Luthor stuff. Now, this is just outright criminality. There's no real deniability here. There's no plausible deniability. There's nothing. They're just outright criminal. You can't, as an FBI agent, put in a false FISA warrant. That's now been proven. That they all have to be prosecuted. It's McCabe, Rosenstein, and Comey. And everybody else involved in what's going on right here needs to be criminally prosecuted, at minimum, lose their jobs for it. All right, where the heck am I? Okay, Epstein sheet. Mm-hmm. Epstein sheet video, FYI. The FBI has been protecting Jeffrey Epstein's clients for decades. Play for me.
Trafficking, I said, kidnapping ring. And I said, I was kidnapped, and he's having all these children come and go all day. What are you going to do? And he goes, well, you can do what you want. And he hung up on me.
The I never FBI heard from him again.
10 years. Hung up on you. He hung up on me. That's right. They hung up on me.
And when was the next time you spoke to the FBI?
In 2006, when they then came to me. I'm in North Carolina, hiding in the woods. When I answered the door, I asked them if they were there about my student loans. And they laughed and said, no, it's about your 1996 Epstein report.
So when the FBI did speak to you, years later, you can't even count how many more victims of Epstein there were. What did they say to you then?
And my agent, she said, Maria, we're going to get him. Anyway, bottom line, they didn't get him, Jesse.
So they didn't do anything. Nothing ever happened. Chris Wray is now the director of the FBI. What would you tell him if you saw him?
Christopher Wray, I want you to look me in the eye, and I want you to apologize to me. I want you to say, Maria, I am so sorry you lost your youth. I am so sorry you were being mocked right now online because we won't release your 1996 report. So we're essentially lying about you. We're essentially saying you're worthless and we don't care about you. And that's how I feel. I want Christopher Wray to say, I'm so sorry we've treated you like you're worthless. I'm so sorry we didn't do our job for the American people.
Jennifer, if I could ask you.
And this is what the FBI does. They completely ignore real criminals, especially sexual criminals. They just ignore them completely. Everybody remember Olympic team doctor Larry Nassar out of Michigan? Mm-hmm. Remember that? He was doing all of these examinations on female athletes where he said, well, you know what? I can fix your hip, but I got to go through your vagina to do it. Over and over and over again. He was doing this for years and years and years. He was reported to the FBI. And they just blew it off for years. And then more and more young girls go in and get victimized by this guy. Same exact thing happens here. This is the glorious, most powerful, most recognizable, most honorable, most unbiased law enforcement agency in the world, the FBI. No, they're a bunch of absolute disgusting criminals. That's what they are. Brown shirts for the globalist left. That's who the FBI is. They suck. And by the way, they do suck. They don't solve crimes. I mean, the FBI, think about it. It's always the local cops that solve the crimes. It isn't the freaking FBI. They suck. I mean, they really do. Every gun battle they're in, they get gunned down. The FBI sucks. That's why they always show up. They have way too many people there because tactically they suck. Most of them have never been street-level cops. They have no idea what they're doing. They're just a bunch of social workers and attorneys. They have no idea what they're doing. They suck. That's why, like, if you're a cop on this, you're a street cop, like I was for 25 years. street level cop. You get a call from a woman who's saying like Larry Nassar's been sexually abusing me because he says I go in there and I've got a pulled hamstring and he's molesting me while I'm in there with a pulled hamstring. You don't ever ignore that or your career is freaking over. The only time when it's not over is if you work in Washington, D.C. It's the only time you're not actually over is when you're actually working at the FBI office. Otherwise, your career is done for ignoring somebody's sexual abuse. I mean, you're talking about minors here, too, on the Olympic team. It's minors and adults, but everybody's like 18 or below. This is women's gymnastics. There's like little tiny 13-year-olds in this. They're Olympians or about to be Olympians or pre-Olympians, whatever it may be. And they completely ignored it. So the exact same thing happened here. This girl calls up and says, I've been sexually abused as a minor by Jeffrey Epstein, and the FBI hangs up on her. I wonder why that is. I wonder why the FBI would hang up on her. Oh, because they're actually actively working to protect them. That's why. And then lo and behold, when they get, that's what's going on with P. Diddy. P. Diddy has some sort of leverage on them. I don't mean he's leveraging them. He has some sort of leverage on them. He knows something they don't want out. I'll be shocked if P. Diddy's alive a year from now. But I mean, so that's what happened. So now they're going to raid him. He's been an asset of theirs for, I mean, who puts cameras in all their bedrooms? Who does it, folks? who does it? Even if you are kind of a perv or whatever, you like to have your, whatever those freak out parties, whatever they're called, yeah, that P. Diddy had. I mean, people have those things, but who films it? Jeffrey, people who want to use it to extort people, that's who films it. And P. Diddy's not doing this for himself. Well, I mean, how much can you possibly gain? He's doing it for other people. Same thing with Epstein. Same thing. It's why they all had. And of course, when they know too much, then we have to get rid of them. Eventually, they know too much. You have to get rid of them. It's like working for the mob. Eventually, they're going to come get you. Eventually, if you're a member of the mob, they're going to have to kill you because you know too much. That's what's happened here. So the FBI hangs up on her in 1996, then comes to her 10 years later after allowing Epstein to rape how many more people, yeah, and allow Bill Clinton to rape how many more people? I mean, like for in a 10-year span, that is the glorious FBI ignoring Epstein's clients for decades. And I'm going to call them clients, victims. That's the Epstein she calls them clients. All right, go to the next one. Speaking of destruction of evidence, libs of TikTok tweet. I mean, this was done 4 years ago. And of course, like the mainstream media reports it as if it just happened so they could say Trump is trying to get rid of Epstein evidence. This happened 4 years ago. This happened during, of course, can anybody guess what administration? That would be the Biden administration, of course. It was 4 years ago for the Biden administration. They just decided to bulldoze the entire Epstein mansion in Palm Beach, Florida. Breaking Jeffrey Epstein's notorious Palm Beach estate, the site of his grooming operation has been bulldozed and replaced with a $30 million mansion, potentially erasing evidence. I don't know if there'd be any evidence there, but why would you ever bulldoze it when you know you have, allegedly, you're not allowed to talk about it because it's a pending investigation. How many times have we heard that over the last 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve? I'm not allowed to talk about it. It's a pending investigations. Christopher Wray, did you have any FBI assets in the Capitol addressed to Trump supporters prior to the breach? I'm not allowed to discuss that because it's an ongoing investigation. Did you have any FBI assets commit criminal acts in the crowd or instigate others to commit felonious acts in the crowd? I can't answer that right now because it's under investigation. Shouldn't it be a yes or a no? I mean, so again, I don't know if this would have any evidence in it, but obviously I wouldn't want to bulldoze because it's an ongoing investigation. If it's an ongoing investigation and this is actually his home, then you'd probably want to what's called preserve the evidence. Again, the FBI has no clue how to solve crime. Think about it this way. I don't know if it was FBI, Secret Service, or Capitol Hill Police. How do you not know who has the cocaine in the White House? I mean, you are the most worthless law enforcement agency on the planet. Is it really 9:40 already?
Yeah.
How in the world, when everything is on camera, are you not able to solve the who put a, and by, and it was going into specific cubicles. I mean, like P.O. boxes. See, that's the whole crime. That's all you need. The individual going like this, and the FBI can't figure that one out. The FBI can't figure out the shooting in Las Vegas. And again, I don't know specifically who is investigating what the shooting in Las Vegas absolutely is there. They can't figure out anything. Who released the Hobbs decision out into the public from the Supreme Court? Nobody can figure that out either. Again, everything's videotaped. Everyone knows. And by the way, it's all traceable of who had evidence. I mean, who had the actual decision in hand via computer. It's all digital. I mean, again, it's just, it's not ineptitude. We all know it's on purpose. But if it's either on purpose, which makes you a sinister criminal, or it's ineptitude, which just makes you a stupid human being. So those are your two choices. Isn't that lovely? Let's go to Doge. All right, Laura Loomer video happening today between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern. The fired, you can side by side this one. Just leave the volume on though, Aaron, because I'll just talk over it. The fired USAID employees have to clean out their desk and vacate the U.S. Look at the little piddly little, I mean, this is as big a crowd as you can get. This is it right here. This is all you, there's no crowd. This is basically media and 14 other people. It's like, it literally is, just roll it back and forth. And you can mute it now, Aaron. This is a USAID employee. So, this, just another example is what we were talking about last night with the housing unit that they had, you know, running for, I think it was $217 million annually, trying to think of what it was per month. These people that are plotting this woman want us to continue to waste billions upon billions upon billions of dollars every month. Imagine that being your platform. Imagine that being your cause. Is that, oh, this is so sad. What a hero from USAID. She sent $50 million for circumcisions in Mozambique. Oh, what a hero. We wanted her to keep her job. Why? How is she a hero? She's not a hero. She's just living off the government teat and doing absolutely nothing. 14,000 employees in the USAID. Wait till I get to the buildings tonight. Wait till I get to the buildings. All right, let's go to the next one. Well, I got to pull my clip off here. All right, here we go. All right, this woman here has become kind of a national hero. She's just called Data Republican. Data Republican. Vigilant Fox video, Data Republican exposes how an NGO claiming to promote democracy. Remember now, you just saw the employee leaving the building. Oh, our hero. She's leaving. Oh, and she's been victimized by Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Victimized. Well, here, Data Republic exposed how NGOs, which are all funded by USAID, promote democracy, that promoted democracy, received $17 million. And the only thing they did for $17 million was make one terrible Muppet show. And that, again, all the Democrats, again, there's only like 14 of them and then like 400 media people filming the 14. Oh, the USAID worker, you're such a constitutionalist for $17 million for a puppet show. All right, so here's Data Republican. Play for me, Will.
So Norm Eisen, he runs an NGO called State United Democracies Center. State United Democracies Center. It's actually full of big names like Janet
Defoe,
Napolitano,
Tom Wicks,
Tom Ridge,
Baxter,
Michael
Steele,
Michael Steele,
Eber Smith.
You know, many famous names are involved in this specific NGO. Now, that NGO accepts $17 million in private donations.
So
I was researching.
Wait, did they talk?
What do they do? Like, with $17 million,
okay, sick.
I started researching. Okay. But the only thing I could find, and I was digging, but the only thing that I found, they made a knockoff Muppet show.
I swear to
you think I'm kidding? They actually made puppets, Muppets, but like knockoff puppets. And all the videos that they made with these knockoff puppets had less than 200 views.
They speak immense.
So I'm wondering, all those big names, all those famous people at the NGO, and the only thing they did with $17 million was make a terrible Muppet show. It's
all right, so there you go. And this is funded by, it was co-founded by Norm Eisen, who funds all sorts of anti-Trump things. So Data Republican, which, by the way, she's been hired by DOJ. She quit her job, and she's been hired by DOJ. She's going through security clearances right now. And what one of the things she's done, credit Alex Jones on this, is that she works on algorithms. Oh, boy. Okay, now she's a genius. She's deaf. That's with sign language. But she's an absolute genius. And she works on connectivity algorithms. In other words, connecting all these people together and where they receive their money and who's married to who and who works for who and who receives money from who. Because it says here, Data Republican exposes, NGO claiming to promote democracy received $17 million, and the only thing they did with $17 million was promote a terrible Muppet show. It's like a knockoff Muppet show. It wasn't even Kermit. It would be like Kermo. Knockoff. It's like one of those dollar stores. Kermo the Frog.
It's not easy being green.
Yeah. You'd have to say something else, though, because you have to pick something.
Being blue.
Being blue. They change him to blue and call him Kermo. So the NGO, co-founded by Norm Eisen, calls itself State United, again, inverted world, Democracy Center, which does nothing for democracy at all. And, of course, there's these rhino Republicans like Tom Ridge and Michael Steele, who used to be the chairman of the RNC. And now he is a liberal commentator. They call him their Republican on MSNBC, CNN, whatever shows he's on. And he's staunchly anti-Trump and anti-Republican. He's just like all the other, like the Republican on The View, the Alyssa Farah, whatever her name is. She's allegedly, none of these are actually Republicans. And by the way, most Republicans are just like this. Nicole Wallace, she was the press secretary, MSNBC Nicole Wallace. She was the press secretary for George W. Bush. It shows you what a fraud all these people are. And you have like Tom Ridge and Michael Steele in this NGO. And it says it's privately funded, but what does privately funded mean? That could mean that it's from another NGO that's taxpayer funded. And then that NGO gives it to that NGO and it gets to be called privately funded. $17 million to produce. And again, you're a Democrat. You're on the side of continuing to fund NGOs that put together shows about Kermo the Frog. That's your platform. Run on it. I mean, I can't wait for you to run on it. And again, Kamala 2028. Juanita Broderick video, Joe Biden gave this lady a grant for $20 million for environmental justice for a group called Young, Gifted, and Green. Play for me, Will.
Latricia Adams. She was an advisor to the Biden White House. How she got that job, I have no idea. The Free Beacon reports that while she was working as a White House advisor, our friend Latricia applied for a contract, and not just any contract, a $20 million contract. This $20 million contract was for environmental justice. And right before Biden leaves office, he gives this $20 million contract to Latricia. Her group, Young, Gifted, and Green, got the $20 million. More like Young, Grifted, and Green. Does Latricia have any background in environmental science? No, not really. 10 years ago, Latricia was a high school Spanish teacher. She has a bachelor's in Spanish. She's based in Memphis, Tennessee.
So this expert who gets $20 million, again, this is all taxpayer dollars. This, again, I don't mean to be redundant, but right now you just have to be redundant. Because all this our entire government, the mission statement of the United States of America has been, and this is for everybody but you and me, 985 people that are watching and who's ever watching right now on the Christian Television Network. Everybody but us. Will was making a joke. He said, you know, if we called our podcast something democracy, we could get $20 million. I said, yeah, but we'd have to say the right thing. And I said, and Aaron said something else. And I was like, yeah, we're the only ones not doing it. I mean, again, the Alex Jones of the world and Bongino's are all doing the right thing and everything too. I'm just saying everybody else simply says the right things. You're Tom Rich. You bend over, spread them wide, and you get millions. You're Michael Steele. You used to be conservative. You used to be in charge of the RNC. Bend over, spread them wide, you get millions. Just change. All you got to do is change your vernacular. Change your verbiage, and you'll get all that you want. All you got to do is form an NGO. This is what Biden's been doing. That's Michelle and Mike. This is what's been going on for years. You just simply create an NGO with some name called Young, Gifted, and Green, or States United Democracies. I mean, you just make it up. You can call it the Pistachio Center, and you get all you want. As long as you espouse that CO2 is a problem and anal sex is great, you'll get all the money you want. That's the way that it is. All you have to do is promote homosexuality, promote transgenderism, pseudo-promote pedophilia by changing laws to minor attracted. That's all you got to do. Advocate for CBDC, advocate for open borders. You just open up an NGO and they're going to send you millions upon millions of dollars. All you have to do to qualify to run Gun, Gifted, and Green is be a Spanish teacher. You get $20 million. $20 million. You just wonder how all these people are so rich. Go to the next one for me. How is Hakeem Jeffries so rich? How is he so rich? Doge Congressional Audit, Hakeem Jeffries. Net worth before Congress, $26,000. Net worth now, a few years later, $21.9 million. Who does that? Who does that? I mean, Dan Crenshaw's last stock audit, really, he gained 48% in stocks. Who ever gains 48% in a year? Jeez. Who does that? Except for Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. She was, and by the way, she was middle of the road. We put out the list on this podcast. She was middle of the road. There's a lot of people with a whole lot more than her. Isn't that worth now $22 million? Here's the sum of his expenses, his congressional expenses. $221,000 that you pay for him to travel. So that Hakeem, so can go travel. $116,000 for entertainment. Aaron, you get to pay for his movies.
Great.
And whatever entertainment means.
Yeah. His movies.
If it swallows well, who knows what it is. $51,000 for meals. I don't know if I've ever eaten $51,000 worth of food. In a year? $102,000 for gifts? Whose gifts going to?
His entertainment.
Yeah, his entertainment, I guess. So yeah, it's all one giant thing. So it's actually $218,000 worth of entertainment. $16,000 for petty cash that you can just use and you just, give me another roll of hundos.
In ones.
Yeah. So I can make it rain at my entertainment.
Yeah. Gifts.
It's probably some gay Muslim club.
Sharia nightclub. Yeah,
Sharia nights. Sharia nights. Lord. All right. Now, this next one's a longer video. It's Doge Watch Report video, but it's too good. It's too good. It's 5 minutes long, but it's Tim Burchett asking questions about USAID money. Is it possible that we were funding the terrorists that we were fighting? It's not just possible. It's actually true. Play it for me.
Mr. Roman, are you aware that we are sending $40 million a week to the Taliban?
Yes, sir.
Can you name other instances of foreign aid going to terrorist organizations?
We have assisted Al-Shabaab in Somalia. There's been instances of the Hamzi Network in Sudan, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Kataiba Hezbollah, Hayat Tahrir al-Shams in Syria. Dozens of terror organizations have received indirect assistance from U.S. foreign aid.
Could you elaborate a little bit on the mechanisms in place that are to stop foreign aid from going to terrorist groups, and why are they not working if we have any in place?
Sure.
And I would note that these are... You notice these are terrorist weaponry. You see some AKs, SKSs, some snipers, some clips, some clip carriers probably made in China. And I believe these are small landmines here beside right there.
Let's use Gaza as our case study. $2.1 billion in American taxpayers' money to Gaza since October 7th when Hamas invaded southern Israel. USAID money was going in terms of an emergency use authorization to try to go to parties that USAID formerly had a relationship with in the Gaza Strip. They had to have been vetted by OFAC. They should have been vetted against the special designated terror list from the State Department and from other Treasury organizations. Waivers were granted because they said that there was an emergency use to have that money come in to Gaza, thereby jettisoning the usual typical screening procedures. As a result, 90% of aid that was going from the United States by way of its agents in Gaza ended up in Hamas-controlled areas. And this is ridiculous. Essentially, what the U.S. assistance to Gaza did was underwrite the ability for Hamas to survive until the ceasefire was just passed a few weeks ago. There was no strategic thought for it, and there was no screening.
Seems like the emergency might have been armed terrorists to kill civilians. Would that be accurate?
That's accurate. And even more than that, Samantha Powers, the administrator for USAID, was intent on having Israel not be able to defend itself.
To not be able to defend it.
Correct.
Mr. Pramerak, is that correct? How do you say that? Pramerak? I got Burchett, man. Nobody gets mine right, so don't worry about it. What is it? Pramerak?
Perfect.
All right. Thanks, brother. How did terrorists explore our foreign aid loopholes?
Well, we have a lot of our international...
Can you pull your mic up? I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You have international NGOs and UN agencies actively lobby here in Washington, D.C. against vetting policies that would prevent it. I was the senior vetting officer at USAID. And
Did you say United Nations is doing this? The UN?
Sure. Everybody's who's getting money lobbies here.
that they're lobbying against us. I'm sorry, Mr. Roman, you're...
There's actually someone who used to work for one of those lobbies, the largest NGO lobby, Interaction. One of our co-witnesses here worked for them from 2018 to 2023. USAID effectively self-funds its own external private lobby that then goes back to Congress and asks for more money for USAID.
So the taxpayers fund this lobbyist who's working against American interests.
Correct.
Possibly killing our allies and possibly Americans.
They bring together groups in Washington that oversees work with groups that kill Americans.
Yeah, I don't need a flow chart to show that. I appreciate it. Do you think USAID programs have been aligned with the national security interests of the U.S.?
No, they have not. They have actually helped China.
Mr. Roman?
No.
Okay. How do these programs compromise our national security, Mr. Primrak?
They actually push China. They actually push much of the world towards China on the green energy agenda. They push people, ordinary people, billions of people towards China because of the resentment caused by our social reengineering.
Are we being lobbied by these pro-communist China groups currently?
Well, a lot of these countries don't even have to lobby because they get the money anyway, like South Africa.
Yeah, and in fact, these lobbyists have come to the House and have tried to kill legislation like H.R. 160, which was meant to increase transparency in USAID's funding of overseas organizations.
Is that a current piece of legislation?
That's from the last session.
Last session. And give me that number again.
H.R. 160.
And what does it do?
It was meant to give U.S. lawmakers the ability to have higher transparency in terror financing investigations aimed at scrutinizing extremist groups.
Mr. Primrak?
We had a regulation before we left in the last administration that anybody who touches money in area in countries where there's terrorists, those names have to go through databases, terrorist databases. That was overturned by Biden.
Overturned by Biden. Chair Lady, I am currently out of 5 seconds, but I wanted to mention something. There's a lot of rhetoric used on this committee, and I would urge my friends on both sides of the aisle, let's stick to the actual information. This rhetoric is... I've received death threats, and I know the chair lady has, and it needs to stop. We need to tone it down. Thank you, chair lady, and thank you.
All right, so just so everybody knows, our taxpayer dollars via USAID, and again, USAID is like 1%. That's, I mean, it's way less than 1%. It's just part of the initial 1% that we've looked into so far. But when you're talking about multi hundreds of billions of dollars stacking on top of each other every year, so far USAID that we know of funded dozens of terrorist organizations, including al-Shabaab, Hamas, and Hezbollah. We're funding them. Oh, we're not funding them directly. No, you're funding an NGO that funds them. That's what you do. That's what our entire world's about, is basically pushing us to becoming China. That's what the USAID has been purposely insulting other countries. Why do they hate Russia so much? Because Russia wants autonomy. No matter what you think about them, Vladimir Putin holds on to the Russian Orthodox Church and transgenderism is illegal. So he doesn't want anything to do with our USAID money. He's not going to be manipulated. So that's why everybody hates him. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but that's why everybody hates him. And then you have the bent over Zelensky, who's again an authoritarian dictator, but he's willing to do what he's told. He's willing to bend over and spread them wide. So he's very pliable, and he's very pliable for the globalists. Because if you notice, they're purposely insulting these countries and pushing them towards China, because China is what everybody actually wants outside of people like you and me. Because China is under 100%, 1.4 billion people live in China, and it's a 100% CBDC social credit system country right now. Aaron's played the videos. We played the videos on the show. You can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without your social credit score, without your QR code and Mark of the Beast on your phone. You can't enter a store. You can't leave your 15-minute city because they're all gated, and you have to swipe your way out. So anybody, if you have to swipe your way out, somebody can turn off the swipe machine or turn off your ability to swipe out. What they're trying to get is all of us away from the spigot. Somebody has the spigot to everything. That's, of course, what I always call it. Leverage you into a one-world commerce system, a singular access point controlled by them. They want to have their hands at your financial spigot, at your financial spigot, at your entertainment spigot, at your travel, at your travel spigot, your medication spigot, your medical spigot, whatever it is, so they can manipulate your behavior. That's why they're doing. That's what USAID is all about. $2 billion, $2.1 billion went to Gaza after October 7th of 2023. Remember, Biden's like, we're pro-Israel. After that, after. That's not even counting the $500 million pier that floated off into the Mediterranean Sea. And it's not vetted. And Will caught this forming. But the Biden, I was thinking it's HR 160. There was a measure that was put out there for transparency. So all of this funding would have to be transparent. Where is it actually going? In the moment Biden took office, he removed the transparency requirement. Why would you do that? Why would Biden remove the DNA testing at the border to actually prove that a child coming across the border with an adult is actually related to that adult and not being sex trafficked? Unless you want kids sex trafficked. Unless you want to fund Hamas. 90% of that $2.1 billion ended up in the hands of Hamas because there is no transparency. That's some other, Samantha Powers, who's running the USAID, is on the record pretty much saying, I don't want Israel to be able to defend itself. And then what one of the greatest things about what I just heard was that USAID, and again, Aaron pays for this, 1,028 people that are watching this, Will pays for this, I pay for this, but you and I pay for USAID to form its own lobbying agency, which then lobbies against vetting. So they can just give the money as they see fit. They actually form their own lobbying firm. And that lobbying firm lobbies against vetting the spending. You and I pay to get screwed. While hundreds of billions of dollars go out there, and again, just lay this groundwork, that goes out there, forms these NGOs. These NGOs are formed. They solely employ Democrats. That's all they are, stacked full of Democrats running it, or Rhino Republicans. They pay them exorbitant salaries to run these NGOs. I love the names, Young, Gifted, and Green, National Endowment for Democracy, States United Democracy Center, Brookings Institute. They form these NGOs. And they're staffed completely and totally by Democrat, globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitists that are making $500 to $2 million a year to run the NGO. And the NGO then sends money and forms other NGOs, which is completely and totally staffed by Democrats. Those Democrats then give their money to other Democrats. They form other NGOs. They fund Democratic Party campaigns where the Democratic candidate gives giant sums of money to their spouse. It's allegedly, which is allegedly legal, which it is legal right now. I got to show you this one. Where the heck am I? Oh, here it is. Wall Street Apes, Will, is that where I'm at?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Wall Street Apes video. Why would Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and Doge want to know if federal workers are working? Shocking, internal sensitive data from inside the Department of Veterans Affairs portfolio. Listen to this. Play it for me.
Why would President Trump want to know if you're working? I want to share some statistics. And from a friend of mine who works at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I want to be very sensitive because he shared some information that it was internal use only. And this is from the Department of Veterans Affairs building portfolio. All right, so 810 Vermont Avenue is a GSA-owned building, and a GSA-owned building means that it's a General Services Administration, and the Department of Veterans Affairs rent that each month. So 810 Vermont Avenue is a 618,000 square foot building. It has 2,483 seats, meaning that's how many staff they can fit. And the monthly rent is $27.2 million, and that's a month. Their average logins from those staff, and they're pretty packed, my friend says, is 387 people average logging in every month. And that building is sitting at a 16% occupancy rate. So we're paying $27.2 million a month for that building with 16% occupancy rate. Now there's seven buildings that I'm going to share with you. 811 Vermont Avenue, another GSA owned building, 266,000 square feet, 1,294 seats, $13 million a month rent, 124 average logins, a 10% occupancy rate. 18,000 G Street, it's a leased building. 207,000 square feet, 1,243 seats, $11.3 million a month rent, and the average logins of those staff is 146 per month and an 11% occupancy rate. 1100 First Street, another leased building, 48,000 square feet, 190 seats, $2.4 million a month rent, 55 average logins, and that building has a 20% occupancy rate. 1575 I Street is a leased building. Now this building is in the process of lease termination. So that's nice. So the 37,000 square feet, 156 seats, $1.7 million a month rent, but that building is being terminated. 425 I Street is a leased building, 175,000 square feet, 582 seats, $12.7 million a month rent, 60 average logins, and 10% occupancy rate. 801 I Street is a leased building, 18,000 square feet, 86 seats, $1.1 million a month rent, and 8 average logins, and it's sitting at a 9% occupancy rate. So, yeah, I think that tells a story. I mean, tell me it doesn't tell a story. My friends.
All right, so let's go over these real quick. I know she already said them, but let's let it sit in there. Let's let it stew a little bit, like a little Cleveland stew. Virginia Central Office, 810, Veteran Affairs Central Office, 810 Vermont Avenue, is 618,000 square feet. And you would think, because I got a war-fighting veteran sitting here to my right, that they should, I mean, this veteran administration, I mean, if you have a building, even just one, that's 618,000 square feet, all the veterans who have PTSD, wounded, have severe side effects from chemical warfare, whatever it may be, have their limbs blown off. These guys should all be multi-millionaires. Nope. We're going to pay for buildings instead that are empty. That is like, Tom, it's too idiotic to even comprehend. I know, but that's the current state of affairs. That's why we have to have Donald Trump. He's doing a great job. So at this building, 810 Vermont Avenue, from the Veteran Affairs, 618,000 square feet. I'm sitting in a 50,000 square feet building right now. I can't imagine something that much bigger, 8 times larger, something like that. It has 2,483 seats. In other words, it houses 2,483 people working at desks. That's how many people staff it. The monthly rent is only $27.2 million every month. Been going on now for decades, every month, for that one building. And remember, Aaron, do you remember how many buildings the federal government actually owns?
300,000.
300,000. Can you just imagine what it would be if we didn't have people purposely trying to destroy our country by printing dollars, where we would be right now? The monthly rent, $27.2 million. The average login, every day you should be logging in. Now, every day, it should be logged in. 2,400 people per day should be logging in. Instead, the average login is 387 people, and that's people logging in every month. It should be 2,483 a day, 2,483 people a day logging in, because that's how many seats are in there. That's how many people fit in that building. But there's only 387 people logging in per month. Per month. I mean, if you were to divide that by 30, that's like 10 people logging in sporadically per day. That's the truth. 10 people per day logging in to take care of our veterans who have their limbs blown off. That building sitting there, this is the highest one, Aaron. I think the second highest or second highest. This building is sitting at 16% occupancy. So we're paying $27 million a month for a building with 16% occupancy. Here's the other ones. I'm just going to go over the ones that aren't, their leases aren't being terminated. 811, right next door to 810 Vermont. Here's 811. So we not only own, why is it the Veteran Affairs needs to own 810 and 811, and both of them are completely empty? But we own both of them, and the government's leasing it from the government. yeah. 811 Vermont Avenue, 266,000 square feet. So it's not good enough to have 618,000. You got to add another 200,000, so that'd be 818,000 plus another 22, well, another 40. So you're like 858,000 square feet. This one houses 1,294 people. So we'll just say 1,300 people. This is just a cheap one, Aaron. This is only $14 million a month.
Oh, okay. That's better.
Now, their average login per month, they should have 1,300 people logging in a day. They have 124 people logging in a month. So if you divide 124 by 30, you have less than 10 people a day working at a 266,000 square foot building. 18,000 G Street, 207,000 square feet, 1,243 seats, $11 million a month. They have 146 people logging in a month and 11% occupancy rate. Again, 1,243 people are supposed to be working there per day, and only 146 people are logging in per month. 1,100 First Street, 48,000 square feet, 190 seats, $2.4 million a month in rent, and 55 average logins per month. Remember, they're supposed to be 190 logins per day. They have 55 a month. 20% occupancy. That's the one that has the highest occupancy rate. 20%. That's how good the government is. And all, imagine being a Democrat, you are for all of this continuing. You're for all of this. This is what I want. I want to continue with this. 428 I Street, 175,000 square feet, 583 seats, $12.7 million. Remember, the government has 300,000 buildings nationwide. This is just seven of them. This is seven of them. And many of them have my favorite accoutrement, which is the $2,500 per picnic table because it has a solar-powered umbrella for nobody to come sit in. This one here, 170,000 square feet, 583 seats, only 60 people log in a month, though, $12.7 million in rent. Last one, 800 I Street, 18,000 square feet, 86 seat capacity, only 8 people log in a month. So less than a tenth of a person a day, and $1.1 million a month in rent. Unfreaking. This is all for the Department of Veteran Affairs. And I know I have never spoken to one veteran ever who likes the Department of Veteran Affairs, who says, man, that Department of that VA, because they just all call it the VA, man, that VA, man, they're awesome. I've never heard one veteran ever say that in my life. I'm 56. And I've worked with and known many veterans, including my own father. Not one of them has ever said, well, that VA is fantastic. They've got hundreds of thousands of square feet. Nobody's coming to work and paying somewhere in the neighborhood, if I was to add this all up, and this is just in these seven buildings, $100, $150 million a month in rent. Unbelievable. Hey, let's do this. Well, I'm gonna put a little kink in the chain here. I'm going to jump off a Doge. Go to the last three. Libs of TikTok, Guy in Purple, all that. Yeah, there you go. I just had to show you this because it's just too fun not to get in. So Libs of TikTok video. So Elon Musk is kind of a pseudo attack on Tesla. NBC and CNN are spreading misinformation as usual because they are Goebbels. They are Pravda. They are Mockingbird Media. The person who was arrested for vandalizing and bringing explosives to a Tesla dealership is a man pretending to be a woman. Go to the next one for me. Here, now the media is saying this woman attacked Tesla. Can you make it even put it on the whole screen? I just want to make sure everybody, there you go. That's the woman. That's the woman. That attacked Tesla, brought explosives to a Tesla dealership. And here's the here is the most repulsive thing that I can show you, as if it could get any worse than this. Here's the most repulsive thing. Put it up there, Will, Fox News. Here's how Fox News reported it.
Oh, my God.
Woman arrested after explosives discovered at Tesla dealership. Can you imagine having the left's hand so far up your anal puppet chute that you will actually call that a woman? You are so controlled, so devoid of dignity, so devoid of integrity. Again, are you the ones that would report Anne Frank or hide Anne Frank? Anybody calling this man, fully penis man, a woman because you're afraid of losing your job would report Anne Frank to the Stasi Gestapo, to the Gestapo. I mean, again, you know exactly what you're looking at, but you are so captivated by personal interests, so afraid of losing your job, so afraid of being called names, and you work at Fox News, that you won't call this person what he is, and that obviously is a whisker-on-whisker crime man. Obviously. I just had to show you that because it just royally ticked me off. I got so much other stuff. Can't believe it's 10:14. All right, that's it. Love you guys. Rumble Rants tonight. Nude Monk, $25. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Love you guys. Thank you so much. All you crazy people. Let me hear. I'll type you something in the... I'll type you something. If I can do it. There we go. Oh, I can't do it on this page. Hold on a second. Aaron, how do I get back to the smaller one? Yeah. Oh, man. I just... There we go. That's not where I wanted to be. Here, don't touch anything because we're countervening each other from off that. So here we go. I'll send this for everybody. There we go.
Oh, my gosh.
There we go. I'll do the American flag, too. There we go. All right. But anyway, love you guys in the rant. Stick around for the post game. Post game's almost all positive with an awesome Bongino rant to close it out. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. See you then.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.